Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to today's teleseminar. This is Chuck Giangreco, and this is my wife,
Kara Giangreco.
And we own and operate the Westchester Martial Arts Academy in right now cold and rainy New York. We've been with Member Solutions since 2005, I believe, and have had a great run. One thing I want to plug before we get into the meat of our seminars, if you guys haven't, we're participating with us. We were part of the consulting apprentice that just happened over the summer, and what a wonderful, wonderful experience that was, working with the other mentors as well as getting a chance to meet, at least over the phone and by email, a good number of the other Member Solutions clients out there. One thing I want to plug is something that Member Solutions is doing for 2009 is unveiling their elite consulting aspect of it. And we are living proof of the elite consulting for Member Solutions works. We, you guys have, again, not heard about from us or about us. We hooked up with Ali Alberigo, and Ali is the senior consultant for Member Solutions, and he just did a great teleseminar on December 3rd, and he's part of your Business 101 emails you've been getting. We joined his elite consultant for Member Solutions 2 years ago, and he has helped us dramatically increase our bottom line to the tune of double our billing volume alone in the 2 years without having to add any more students than was absolutely, capable of doing. We still have big, big school profits from our retail, our events, and our billing, and keep a small, very manageable, as people would say, mom-and-pop school, which is something I really recommend. Mentorship is incredibly important for those of you guys that did the Member Solutions Consulting Apprentice. This is something you should look into doing because it can really, really change your business. Now, away from the commercial, let's go into what we're going to talk about today. Now, we're going to talk about making positive changes while keeping your integrity here. One of the things that when we were doing the Member Solutions Consulting Apprentice, is people had some things to overcome. Now, there's a lot of things to overcome in terms of, finances and programs and marketing and all that, which is nothing we're going to cover today. What we're going to cover is some self-limiting beliefs in what it is that we do, and talk about the dirty word of being a sellout in the industry and seeing how we can get past that to start achieving the real success and looking at your goals and trying to go and crush through that. So I think, Kara, you're going to start off today, right?
Yes, okay. So I'll start off there. I'm just going to let you know, first of all, we wanted to title this teleseminar, Get Over Yourself. All right, this was kind of a topic I guess I was thinking about for a long time, or, I heard it a lot and stuff, and I almost want to write like an article or something on it. And, of course, when Kathy asked us to do a teleseminar, like, oh, this is a great opportunity. And she, I think, made a much, much better title for it. But that was something that I really wanted to call it that. I will start by saying the topic that we're basically going to go over today, both Chuck and myself are 100% guilty, okay? We did have a mentality prior to opening a school and even in the beginning of opening our school about, certain things, and we're very guilty of it. And when we started to do the Apprentice Challenge, and even before that, but, I'll say, when we did the Apprentice Challenge this summer, we really noticed as we were trying to, help some people out, do a little consulting, because a lot of people, let's say they would either email or call us and, ask questions and stuff. We found that the mentality that we had, that was hindering us, that many people still have it. So I very much felt like, instead of doing a teleconference in terms of marketing or advertising or birthday parties or anything to that extent for the new year, I very much felt like this is something that really hindered us. I'm not going to lie. Really hindered us, and I somewhat feel that other people are probably, more than likely hindering themselves on this as well. So that was originally what I wanted to call it, was, again, get over yourself. I'll just give you a brief lineage. Both Chuck and myself have been under Guru Dan Inosanto. For those of you who don't know him, that's okay. I know not everybody knows him, but he is Bruce Lee's protege. But regardless, I mean, amazing martial artist, of course. And at the same time, it's a lineage that we're very, very proud of. And a lot of people, as well, we should be. Now, a lot of people, what I think they tend to think of is their martial arts system is the best. And, of course, that was the mentality that we had, that we're under, you know, the best instructor in the world. We have the best, you know, yeah, the best instructors, best people to train with, and our system is the most amazing. And, you know, everybody should realize that and understand that. And something that would drive me a little bit nuts is, of course, at that time, this was maybe a little prior to opening a school, and again, in the beginning, too, it was almost sort of, I guess, bothered me personally that if, you know, you said you did the martial arts, people are like, oh, you teach karate or taekwondo, and that people just didn't get it. And a lot of times I wouldn't even want to say, well, we taught. No, we teach the best system, you know. And I really had that feeling. And when we opened the school, I thought, because definitely within our area, okay, we teach, we're the only ones certified under Grudan and Asanto within a huge radius. I mean, there's some other people out in Queens and stuff. Those of you who don't know our location, that is, you know, very far away. It's not even competition for us. So there are some people kind of in the far out area. But definitely within our area that we should be concerned about, we are the only ones that actually teach this system. So, of course, I did have the mentality that, okay, this is, you know, people should just flock to us because we're the only school, at least in this area, that teaches this system. That was one. Another thing was, you know, I really thought, yes, we're the best system out there. I mean, you know, and I didn't want to change anything, or I didn't want to water down anything. You know, when it came to curriculum and stuff, we didn't want to do that. You know, we want to stay within certain structures, and I think we had the very, again, we'll go back to, you know, what Chuck mentioned. We very much had the attitude, you know, we don't want to be what we always heard of as sellouts. Okay, and that was the term, I'll kind of go into it a little bit. The term sellout is something that I heard, of course, all the time, you know. And I really believe, in the bottom line is, it's really used in jealousy. That is my belief, looking back. And I'll even say, yes, I was guilty of always using it as well, you know, saying this, you know, so-and-so has a school and they're successful because they are a sellout. Okay, and I would hear that, not just from myself, I would hear that from other people. Yeah, they have a school. Oh, yeah, they're running it well or they're making money, but you know what, they're a sellout. They have no integrity. They're watering down their system. They're not teaching, you know, this, that, and the other. And I would constantly hear that. Okay, and actually, you know, I'll go into one story there that almost made me feel a little bit better. I really thought that was a term that was just sort of used in the martial arts industry, as far as I heard the term sellout. But one day I was talking to a friend of mine, Tina, who is she was basically a five-star chef in a Manhattan restaurant. So obviously she was doing well. And I probably asked the very stupid question, or the question that might get under every chef's skin, I'm sure. I did ask her, okay, you know, out of the Food Network, let's say, who's your favorite chef? And, of course, that just threw her back, you know, oh, my God, how dare I even mention the Food Network as it is. And, you know, her point was, oh, all those chefs on the Food Network are sellouts. Okay, and I was almost shocked, relieved, I don't know what to say, amused at the fact that I heard this term used, like, in a different, you know, in a different kind of profession and everything. You know, they're all sellouts. And, you know, her belief was, if you're a chef, you know, it should be all about the food and the cooking, and that's what it's all about and everything. And if you go on a show and if you, you know, you're doing all that kind of stuff, you're just a sellout. And I just, yeah, again, I thought that was interesting. And, you know, I guess my, you know, not knowing really much about the profession, of course, you know, I would guess, too, that I think what I asked her is, okay, obviously maybe they're not the best chefs in the world, and I think that's what kind of annoyed her, because they really weren't, let's say, the best chefs, but they were the most well-known. But they knew how to, again, market themselves or find their niche. And I guess, let's take a Rachel Ray, for instance, who always admits, you know, she's not a chef, she's not professionally trained, but she found her own little niche to make herself successful and admits to what she does. So, go ahead.
Okay, now, to bring it a little more in, so, you know, people are, you know, staying focused on us, is when we were doing the consulting at Prince, we ran into a couple of examples of things that I want to touch on. And, you know, obviously we're not singling anyone out. There was one person that only wanted to speak to a consultant that had a hard style. And by that I mean, you know, very, you know, I guess contact-oriented or training style. And that was all he wanted to do. I cannot learn from anyone that doesn't have a understanding of my art and my hard style, and I just want that. Another one mentioned that they could not, you know, promote, you know, their students who are under the age of 18 to black belt. So let me clarify this. They also didn't have a kid's ranking structure at all. And they could not, you know, get themselves to make changes, you know, to that to the children's curriculum and the children's rank structure, even though they were absolutely hemorrhaging students. Their retention rate was terrible. And again, I'll say one of actually my very good friends, who is a jiu-jitsu instructor, Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor, quite close to me, is his kids' program completely flushed the toilet because of the same things. There was no belt promotion. There was no even curriculum options for it. And he couldn't understand the fact that he was the only school in the area that taught Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Now, he is a Pan-American champion. It's not like he's, you know, took a 12-hour certification. He, you know, and he could not comprehend what happened. Now, there's a lot of teleseminars out there, advice and articles, marketing, retention, birthday parties, that great stuff. But firstly, I believe if you cannot get over the mental obstacle that this is your business, this is not your organization's business. Your organization, as great as they may be, and I belong to a number of them, is not going to put gas in your car, is not going to pay your mortgage, and is definitely not going to pay the rent and feed you guys until you make some changes that are within your dreams and goals and getting yourselves in there. One thing I would like to talk about the concept of is branding. Now, as Kathy always asks us, she says, "Oh, Chuck, what are you doing marketing-wise? Are you setting this, that, and the other thing?" I'm like, no, we are just a brand of our community. I'll give you some background on that. There's 8 elementary schools in my area. We have after-school programs and care programs in all of them. When our town, a park and recreation department, runs a camp, we are the martial arts experts for the camp. We have been so entrenched in our systems here that we did everything as a brand. I want to go back and ask you guys a question. When was the last time you saw a commercial for Starbucks? You really, really don't. Their marketing motif is, as I'm holding my Starbucks cup up right now, is the logo, people walking around with the logo and seeing it. That's what we talk about as brand specification here. Now, that's something that's going to be incredibly important for us as we go forward. Now, when you're branding yourself, there's a couple things I want you guys to think about. One is know yourself. If you haven't taken time right now to, you know, and the new year is a good time to do it. You know, January 1, first quarter, is good to go. What are you about as a school? What are your top 5 or 10 things that set you apart? What is your mission statement? More importantly, you know, to again keep it very martial arty, is, you know, there's a great book out there for many, many years, Sun Tzu's The Art of War, is knowing thy enemy, or know your competition in this case. When I say know your competition, not necessarily, you know, what this particular person is advertising, but, you know, find out what the similarities are between the two of you guys. And then key in on what is your unique identity. What is your unique selling proposition? Once you have done that, you can start branding yourselves effectively. Now, it does not matter what style you are teaching at all. It doesn't matter if you have a hard style, a soft style, an internal style, an external style, MMA, XMA, I don't know, CIA, whatever acronym is out there right now, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that you need to have a user-friendly goal for each of your students, from short and long-term goals. And I'm sure there's some people out there just going, I can't believe I logged on in my busy day at 1:17 to listen to this, but I'm like, well, good. Are you doing it? That's the whole thing I want to ask you guys. One great comment I have is for people who, you know, will tout their, I'm a black belt in this and all other things. When your students are coming in, they do not really care about that. They're looking for the martial arts and wouldn't know anything from anything. It's our job to educate them. There's a great quote I like. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. which means once the relationship is built and they're here seeing something that's important to them, they will get onto it and then be a full believer in your system and your organization. Now, let's talk about a few things. Okay. One is the importance of progression for everyone. Now, when you're looking, I'm going to use the example of the person with no belt ranks for the children, is the children are by far the greatest moneymaker for the academy in terms of events, retail, and overall tuition. You can charge a much higher dollar tuition and keep them for a lot longer. You do not have to be, again, I'm going to almost be hypocritical, one of those schools that promote, you know, four-year-olds to third-degree black belts. That is, I would say, a little bit fishy and a little bit odd. But having a progression set, regardless of its, you know, Aikido, whatever, is going to be have a progression for the children to attain something as a junior black belt. You remember, as I do myself, I'm promoting instructors under Guru Nisano, and they have to do, you know, certain things and adhere to certain principles. But my children, you know, I can still make them the equivalent of the black belt rank without going through any of the different endeavors for saying, oh my God, he's 12, I can't promote him. No, absolutely, you can. The organization has a great guidelines for the adults, maybe. But when it comes to your children and your school, you can set what you need to do.
Let me just, you know, jump onto that a bit. Is that, again, yes, you need, just like Chuck said, you need to have a set curriculum, you need to have the goals. But also realize, I think, you know, again, like I said, me, both Chuck and I got caught in the trap thinking, okay, we're under Gurdan, so people are going to flock to us, and they're going to want this system and the JKD system. They're going to want that. And I would say out of the almost 6 years that we're in business, I would say very small percentage, I would even go to probably just the adults, so to speak, are the ones, you know, who actually maybe came in, researched it a bit, and really came to us strictly because we were a JKD school, and they had, and they had researched that. But I would say, really, that's about 1% of the population. At the same time, again, like Chuck said, branding. Now, you got to realize, why do people, again, let's go back to the kids for a second, especially because they tend to be, you know, more of our money makers. Okay, but I do think this pertains to adults and young adults if you have them as well. Okay, what do people want out of the martial arts? A lot of the times they sometimes want to learn a cool system and stuff, but they really want to, let's say for the parent who is your buyer, you know, for the kids, they want the kids to, of course, learn discipline, get the physical fitness, see them get that goal setting. Those are the things they want. And the martial arts, again, is about those aspects. Whatever you're teaching, it is about discipline. Okay, it is about, goal setting. It is about the physical fitness. It has all those aspects of it. And that's what the parents want to see with their kids. So keep in mind that whatever you are teaching, those are the things that really need to come across and that the parents, of course, need to see. Yes, they need to see a progression. The kid is learning something, absolutely. But they need to see that that's a big part of it as well. And they are going to ultimately buy you. Okay, or your program, or your product, or your instructors. Okay, they're ultimately going to buy that. They're not necessarily going to buy that you are doing Aikido, or they're not going to, let's say, buy you're doing Kung Fu. That's not really what they're buying in the long run. They are buying what it's giving their child, or themselves, you know, if it is an adult. So make sure that you do keep that in mind, that whenever you're setting out your curriculum, or your teaching, or your instructor's teaching, or whoever's out there, that these are the things that need to come across, that need to be in there. It's the goal setting and, you know, what the parent wants to see. Many times, I'm sure if you've taken an info call from a parent, you know, what would you like your child to get out of the martial arts is, they'll ask what style you teach because they really have heard just of a couple of different things, or maybe they heard through the grapevine taekwondo like this, or, you know, they'll sometimes ask those things. But I think what they all will say, or actually the majority that come to us, are, you know, they need a little bit of discipline, they need to listen, and, you know, I want them to get the physical benefits, you know, or they're getting bullied at school. And those are the things that they really need to see in the long run. And the adults, you know, I would like to say as the adults, it's very much, I find, the same thing. They want to get a good workout, of course. They want to learn something. But, you know, they want to feel good. And they want to increase their confidence as well. They want to come in, let's say, get a good workout and see that they're doing better as a husband or a wife, or that they're working harder at their job, or they can see they have more confidence in attaining a goal. So those are some of the big things you got to keep in mind when you're setting your curriculum. And that's you. They're buying you. Okay, don't think they're going to flock to you because it's a certain strain of kung fu that you're teaching. With that going on to kind of the next thing, that will go into certain things like fads. Okay, the fad chaser, as we sometimes say. Do you want to go on to that?
Now, as one of the things I like to, you know, sorry, looking at our clock here, we are, you know, running over here, is the January, as again, the new stuff coming out, everyone thinks that they're going to have to sometimes get on the biggest and best fads that are out there. And I have to say, you don't always have to. You can be absolutely successful with what you are teaching without having to really add anything to it. One of the most successful schools that that I know, again, is, I'd say, is Ali Alberigo's Long Island Ninjutsu, which teaches just ninjutsu, period. No MMA, no cardio kickboxing, no yoga, no any other add-ons like that. They do one thing, and they do it really, really well. I'm a big believer in that, again, coming into the branding of it. Do one thing extremely well. But I'm a big proponent of learning and exposing yourself and your students to other things here. But what I'd like to just say is brand yourself, look at your goals and your mission statement, and realize that you can do everything that you want to do with your present system and your present knowledge, with certain things that you can just tweak, such as curriculum structures, promotion structures, as well as just your in-house things that we've touched on in different teleseminars. And you can really do everything that you want to do without being labeled a sellout, and keeping your high-quality students in terms of whatever you think that's going to be, whether they're great fighters, forms competitors, or just overall great people, which I think should be the overall end game for this for martial arts, period. Mm-hmm. So, Kathy, that is our all of our notes right there. So if anyone wants to ask questions, or we're open.
One of the questions is, how did you get your after-school program in all those schools? That's a good question.
Actually, I'll just field this real quick. We were very lucky at one part, okay? There's a couple different ways we did it. I'll just put it that way. But we were very lucky in one aspect. When we started to go into business, one of our students who we had come in, she actually took some martial arts and stuff. Her son went to one of the local elementary schools. I'm not sure, she was probably on the PTA. You know, I don't know, even because it was a while ago, a long story. But pretty much the PTAs in our community, they have an after-school program. They run it like a small business where they have, you know, martial arts or tennis or, let's say, you know, arts and crafts, magician, you know, things, a bunch of things the kids can do. She was already into that, and she was already teaching kickboxing there, or, you know, or martial arts, or, you know, again, they call it a couple things. They call it Muay Thai, karate, or whatever, and I don't even care, as long as, you know, we're coming and teaching what we want. So she started in that, and then we sort of took over. She actually did move to Texas, but she kind of, I think she was overwhelmed, and so we basically took over. And that's, if you can get in on that, I'm not sure if your local schools have that kind of the same thing as our PTA or not, but if they don't, I mean, I would definitely propose that seems like the way to go is through the PTA, or you can just ask maybe whoever sort of is in charge of that, and definitely, you know, see if that's something that you can get into, or see if that's something you can offer as an after-school program. But there's been some other schools that have come to us, you know, have heard our name and everything, or somehow we got in touch with and have a similar program. But those are the main people I would say to go to, is the PTA people, and see if that's something that you can bring in. And it's, you know, just to go off a little bit, it's a great way. Of course, we get paid for it, and they do pay us well, which is wonderful. You know, we have a, they get, the kids get the white belt, so you have the whole ambiance on there and stuff. And at the same time, after each course, because pretty much they do like a winter, excuse me, a fall winter course and a, like a spring course every single year. And to get into that, excuse me, at the end of those programs, we have a graduation ceremony at the academy where the parents are invited. And then, of course, you, you kind of sell, try to sell your trial program. You get maybe some kind of nice discount with your trial program. So that is, I definitely advocate, if you can do that, you know, definitely go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Another question is, since you're into internal marketing a lot, is how much, do you know how much each student spends a month on average, what your student value is per person?
Sorry, there was some static there. Say that again, Kathy.
Sure. Do you know how much each student spends a month on average in your school, or what your average student value is per person?
Sure. The my students, I'll give you the ones who are doing pretty much all the events. They're spending around $225 per month in my academy. So my overall, at the end of at the end of my contract amount, they're looking at a contract amount for about $5,000 in terms of tuition and events.
That's awesome. And, you know, I think it would be it's a really good thing if people don't know how much their average student is spending and what they're spending it on. It's a really good thing to know, because that has a lot to do with, you know, your net, you know, what you're bringing in, obviously improving your gross, too.
Yeah, there's a, lot of things to consider with that. I mean, the having special events for each age group, having upgradable programs in terms of, you know, either Black Book Club, Masters, Elite, or whatever else you want to call it for each particular age group, as well as retail items that go along with that. That is the key. It's, you know, we do very, very well on, you know, on, say, on member solutions billing, but there's a whole other billing that we're doing from the events and our retail that is equal, sometimes if not greater to, our own billing volume.
Right, and that all factors in. So I think the average martial arts school really probably, their student value is probably a little bit lower than their monthly tuition when they factor in, you know, a couple paid in fulls or some freebies and some trade outs. You know, so there's a lot of room to grow.
Yeah.
Financially.
Absolutely.
By adding special events and doing other things that maybe everybody hasn't thought of doing yet. So maybe they'll consider that for 2009.
Most definitely.
I've got a question for you. And then I can always go back to the phone lines, too, to see if anybody had thought of one up on the phones. But when you first started to make your mental shift, you know, you're talking about, you know, kind of like, you know, get over yourself, you know, and, you know, I think some of us, a lot of us come from dungeon dojos or just from tremendous pride in our martial arts style. But when you first started to, you know, consider the idea of making some changes with integrity, do you remember what was like the first thing you had the bravery, you know, to change?
You know, it's the bravery, I guess, came with necessity. It's, you know, I'll say, yeah, we talk about dungeon dojos. I came from a much more tactical side of it. I, you know, basically, you know, I was doing, you know, subject matter experts for the military, you know, for hand-to-hand combat and things to that effect. So I had a complete different paradigm from training, you know, a soldier versus training a civilian. And the thing is, you know, when the bank account was running dry and I had, you know, rent and mortgage and everything else to pay for, and watching the dream that I had, you know, kind of like starting to flounder, that's when you have to make real decisions and go, you know what, I don't have the answers, and maybe my way is not, you know, the best way. And let me see what I can learn from other experts. I did a lot of training martial art-wise, so now let me do some training on how to be, you know, the same level martial artist on the business end of it as I am on the physical end of it. So it was a sobering and scary thing. When I speak to Allie all the time, I'm just amazed on how much I you know, I've done and how much I haven't done yet. And it's always a learning experience, and it's always a little scary, but it's exciting.
I think too. I mean, I'll just add to that a little bit. A month or two prior to going with Allie, I mean, I was just doing small consulting, like the 20 minutes that you guys had offered through Member Solutions, and he had mentioned the Elite Consulting. And I do think at first it was kind of like, we don't need that, you know, or why are we going to listen to him? You know, a little bit like, no, we can handle this, or, you know, things like that. You know, and it sounded like very pricey and stuff, you know, and it was definitely something that we knew if we had chosen to go with him that you're going to have to make a commitment, you know, at least a 6-month or something commitment. And, of course, again, I think we mentioned in the beginning we've been with him for 2 years. But then one of our instructors really just left, actually about, I think it was 2006, September, about September 2006.
Yeah, he was our kids instructor.
Yeah, he was our kids instructor. And, of course, we thought, oh, my God, you know, what are we going to do and stuff like that. And, you know, realized everything was fine. But I think that, too, made us step up to the plate and say, okay, you know what, we don't have all the answers. We don't know how to run a school. We don't know how to, you know, and, again, we're still learning a lot of this stuff, but, you know, or how to be an employer, you know, and that's those kind of things. It's okay to go to somebody, and I think one thing to mention, too, again, you know, Ali Averigo teaches ninjutsu. He teaches something completely different from us, but the amount of stuff we have learned from him, he's never told us to change systems, of course, you know, but the amount of stuff we've learned from him on how to run a school and to keep what we do, you know, or keep our curriculum and what we do, but be able to run a school is just, you know, amazing. We can definitely learn a lot from him or anybody else that teaches something different, you know.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's interesting that, you know, I think some people, you know, who do have a set, they're set ways, you know, they're set of ways, and they want to run their school a certain way, but then all of a sudden out of necessity, you know, then all of a sudden you can become a little bit more open-minded, and I think that once you take the first step and make one little positive change and it goes okay, then it's kind of like, okay, all right, that wasn't so bad, so maybe I could do something else, and maybe now I can, you know, have a special event, you know, and open it to the public. And maybe now that was okay. I still feel like I've got my integrity. Now I can smile in the classroom, you know. And I think that, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but I think it's easy to shift and to change. But maybe not just jump head first to dive unless you're really in trouble, and then it could be too late.
Yeah, but change again happens slowly, and change happens systematically. And you really cannot execute. you can't execute without a plan. You make sure you plan,
right,
think it through, and put things, implement one step at a time and consistently, and you'll completely succeed with it. And the best thing about, at least from my point of view, about being an entrepreneur is that the only person responsible for my success or my failure is me. You know, regardless of, you know, economies, commercials, or whatever, the only person responsible for my success or my failure is myself. So sometimes you have to take stock of that and take control of your destiny.
I think, too, just, you know, just a little bit of a side note, I really feel like even after making these changes, you know, we can still look back and say, look, we're still teaching what we want, how we want to. You know, we're happy with the product we're making in terms of students. And, you know, just as a side note, too, guess what? Some of our, I guess I'll say friends or, you know, whatever, colleagues, you know, people who are within the JKD system and stuff, yes, have they called us sellout?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to lie. I don't think they totally understand or, you know, I don't know if it's out of jealousy or whatever it is, you know, but, you know, I can kind of, I mean, it's going to happen. Or people are going to say, you know, you made more money because your aunt died or something. I mean, those things are just, you're never going to avoid that, especially if you're successful. And you know, just to give you a heads up on that, don't, you know, you can't worry so much about, you know, do what makes you happy. You can do that, and then people are still going to say these things about you.
Right, and but they're not the ones who pay the bills, and they're not the ones who
right.
have to run your school. So, you know, gear them up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It just doesn't matter what they say.
Absolutely. Yeah, you just can't get yourself so crazy about that. I mean,
right.
You know, my opinion, and people will say that, and you know, that's fine. I mean, as long as you're running it the way you want to and you feel good about yourself, I mean, but it does take a lot of change, and, you know, there's a lot of things that we had to just change, you know, and it's not always easy. You want to run things the way you want to run it or the way you feel is best, and it's not always the best thing.
All right. Well, thank you for being here today, everybody. Have wonderful holidays. And Chuck and Kara, if they have any questions they think of later, is there an email address? Can they send an email to you and just ask a quick question? Would you mind that?
Oh, absolutely. That's not a problem at all. It's WM Academy. It's all one word, at earthlink.net.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Everybody have a wonderful holiday.
You too, guys. Enjoy.